You're listening to the Rising Boss Podcast, not your typical millennial's guide to workplace hows and whys. Hey guys, you're tuning again to another episode of the Rising Boss Podcast, and today we are going to be talking about how to be your authentic self at work and still be successful. Our guest for today is a storytelling coach determined to help women of color entrepreneurs feel confident, give back to the community while being original and their clearest, most creative, true self. Let us welcome on the show, Beatrice Kabutakapua.
Hi.
Hi, Beatrice. How are you?
Hey, Maria, I'm great. Thanks. Although it's kind of really warm here in London. So.
Oh, is it? It's yeah. What's the weather like right now?
Really sunny, very clear sky, which is really unusual for London. And I think the temperature is around 25 degrees Celsius, and it's going to go up to 30, which again, doesn't sound like London.
Yes, it's probably just because it's summertime, going summertime where you are now. But here in Dubai, it's sunny as always, 365 days of the year. It's always like this. So, you know, I'm really so excited to be having you on this episode because just for anybody who have listened to my podcast trailer, this is exactly the reason why I wanted to do this podcast in the beginning, because I feel like this topic that we're about to dive into later on, I feel like sometimes it's a little bit sensitive for other people. That's why not a lot of people talk about it. But I feel like it's really time for us to do some more, you know, conversations around this topic. And it's really just about raising awareness, obviously, not just for the people, for people of color, but for also those that are for the privileged ones. Sometimes they don't see that they're so privileged in life just by, you know, how they look. But us, for example, sometimes we need to do sometimes a little bit more extra than they would just for us to be able to strive, especially in the workplace. But maybe just to begin, I've spoken to about this in my different podcast episodes. But I work in Dubai, and I feel like here in Dubai, there's so many different nationalities, races, ethnicities that are working here, and a lot of us, I would say, we're kind of put in boxes. For example, Filipinos are put in a box or in a category where, okay, this is just the job that's for you. This is how you're supposed to be paid, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes I feel like I'm put in that box and I'm treated the way that I am treated because of how I look like. And then people kind of question me, for example, for being different, or like, why do you speak the way that you do? Sometimes you would think it's like a compliment, but really it's not, because they're expecting you to speak in a certain way because of how you look. And there's so many things that I could like just share, or like stories that I could share to explain really like the, you know, the difference when you are of certain color or of certain nationality and how you're treated. But that's for something that we can talk to about later on. But Beatrice, from your side, can you share with us, you know, some of the experiences that you've had maybe growing up or as an adult where you felt like you had to be somebody else so people could accept you?
I think that it goes back to what you said before, that sometimes we need to do more. And that will actually get rid of the sometimes and straight say most of the times we need to be more. And this comes obviously from different intersections in our heritage, in our background. I was born in Italy and my parents are from Congo, from the DRC in Africa. So I was in the town that I was born in. We were pretty much the only Black family there. We weren't the only African family because there were people from North Africa, but we were like the only Black family. And my parents, something that they told me growing up, and this is not something that they related to racism or microaggressions, but they were always telling me, you know, you will always have to do more than others, mm-hmm. because people will just judge you for the way you look. So whether it was at school, you know, give more at school, be a better student, or whether it was going to the bank, you have to mm-hmm. dress in a certain way if you want to go to the bank, because people just looking at you, they will judge you. So that from one side, that puts lots of pressure on mm-hmm. a person.
Yeah.
But from the other side, I just feel, and even growing up, I've experienced that they were right. I mean, people do because of unconscious bias, conscious bias, racism and prejudices. People will just judge us for the way we look, and they will form an opinion on that. So whether it's because we have an immigrant background, whether because we are people of color, we feel like it's our place to do more, be more. Mm-hmm. We always have to prove ourselves. And it's very, very tiring for so many people. And I've had this conversation with many other people of color, and we find ourselves in the same space. Like, sometimes it's just nice to hang out among other people who share your experience, yeah. because you can just relax. Because being that extra all of the time is yeah. tiring.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. You know, I can relate to that so much because in my workplace right now, at least in my marketing team. So I work in a multinational B2B company, and in the marketing team that we have, I'm the only Asian person there. So everybody else is, they're all white. They're all from Europe or from the US. And I'm the only woman of color there. I'm the only Asian person in our team. And can you imagine? I'm the youngest also. And I feel like sometimes, oh. yeah, imagine that, right? So being a woman, being the youngest and being the only person of color puts me to, like, I feel like at that time puts me to so much disadvantage. I felt like I was going to be looked at, one, because I'm young, I don't have that much experience. I'm from wherever, like, who is this Asian woman coming and joining our team, right? Like, who are you to give XYZ ideas to us? But I felt so different. I felt so insecure. Yeah. You know, I know that I have ideas. I know that I have some suggestions in mind that I feel like could really help the company. But at that time, I was so shy. I was so scared because, like, who am I to say anything? And I relate so much to what you say about being extra. I feel like with the work that's kind of given to me, I'm only given this much task because this is my only position, right? But, like, mm-hmm. I couldn't do that. I'm not the type of person to just be mediocre in my work. I want to do something mm-hmm. more. I want to bring value because I know that I could do value. So, like, along the way, you know, I kind of realized I needed to be more. So every time, mm-hmm. for example, that we would go on a meeting or, like, we would see each other, I would give out some ideas and really show that I can be of great value to the team. I feel like I had to be extra all the time. And I had to give ideas here and there. Even if the work is not necessarily assigned to me, I would volunteer. Yeah, I can do that. Sure, I've become like a yes person. And now mm-hmm. that I feel like I'm, you know, being appreciated in the team and stuff, I feel like now that I've kind of made them used to that kind of being a yes person, because I've been so extra all the time. Now I feel so exhausted being so mm-hmm. extra. I feel like, what if I want to say no this time? Like, what if I don't want to do this? It's actually not my job to be doing all of this. But you know what? I really want to be able to contribute, but I feel like enough is enough. I've been trying to prove myself, you know, like, I've been so extra all the time. So what about you? Like, what did you do to overcome those struggles growing up, other than being extra or, like, being, you know, doing over the top all the time? What did you do to overcome those?
I think the very first step is to acknowledge the situation, because if you don't realize that you are giving more than other people, and especially you don't realize why you're doing that, because obviously I don't think it's a bad thing to give more, to be super helpful, to give 150% of yourselves, mm-hmm. but we have to see ourselves as batteries as well. You know, like you give, at a certain point, you're going to empty yourself and you have to make sure that you recharge. And in order for you to understand that you need to recharge, you need to make sure that you know what's going on, what's happening. So for me, the first step was really realizing what was going on. And the way it happened was actually through a coaching session that I had with a coach. Mm-hmm. And we talked about different narratives and how I wanted to be more assertive and I wanted to be able to answer people. I wanted to be able to say no. And she was asking me, okay, what's the different narrative that you would like to create? And just this, that whole conversation made me think about all the times where I gave more and why I gave more, mm-hmm. and how my heritage and background, influenced me in the decision. So the first thing was reflecting on that, taking time to reflect on that. And doing that in a group really helps as well. You know, if you confront yourself with other people and you share your experience, they might tell you, you know, this is why it's happening. Or maybe you read some relevant books as well that tell you the same things. So the first thing, it's definitely saying, okay, this is the issues and this is what's happening. And then you have to, especially for me, I had to establish some boundaries. Mm-hmm. And there weren't boundaries for people like, I don't want to be among too many people, or I don't want to, you know, some extreme things. It's just thinking about what do I need and what do I want, me personally. Mm-hmm. So I'm an introvert, for instance, and I fully accept that and I fully enjoy being introvert. So I know that if I go to a networking event, for instance, mm-hmm. I can be there for a little while, but after a while I have to leave because otherwise I will just be drained. And that's fine by me. That's what I need. That's what I do. Because if I do that, then I can actually give more in the next task or in the next thing that I want to do. So it's really about boundaries and knowing yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be able, which is probably the most difficult part, you have to be able to express those boundaries with people. Yeah. And there are very elegant ways to do that. For instance, learning to say no for me was very important, even in my work. So many times there have been people asking me, oh, can you do this pro bono, or can you do this as a friend, or blah, blah. And we are brought to say, oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, sure. And then we say yes to them. And when we say yes to them, we say no to ourselves, yeah. to our health, to our mental health, to our mm-hmm. strength. So you give again, you give, and then you don't have anything. So I had to learn to use some specific, very elegant and very formal ways to say, you know, this is not the time. For instance, when friends, I remember 2 years ago, a friend of mine was going to work on a project. And he asked me whether we could meet for a coffee. Mm-hmm. And because I had watched this video by Marie Forleo, who is an entrepreneur based in the US, where she explained how to answer to people when they're like, oh, let's go out for a coffee. And then they're actually asking you questions that are business related. And right. then it's like a coaching session or whatever, a consultancy session for a coffee.
Right.
So I just told him, you know, I really appreciate that you asked me for that. Just out of curiosity, is it like a leisure coffee or a professional coffee? Because if it is a professional coffee, I'd suggest you go through my calendar and you book an hour so we can work things out. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, well, how much will the hour be? And I told him the price, and then he was like, oh, okay, no, that's fine. But it it helps us, but it also helps other people to realize that what they're asking. Because I'm not a huge fan of educating people at this point of my life. I don't want to put that much energy into that, but I want to make sure that they know what's happening so that they can also be aware and also that they can learn from that as well. You know, if he goes on and create his own consultancy firm or whatever, he knows that when a friend says, let's have a coffee, he can be like, leisure coffee or business coffee?
That's really interesting. You know, sometimes when people ask us for favors, especially because we're friends with them, and this is what I realized along the way, like, yes, we can give advice, we can help other people, but sometimes, you know, like, people don't actually realize we spend effort and we spend some time thinking about what to tell them, how to help them out, that it's really not about the money, it's really not about the compensation, but it's about the value that we can bring to them, right? So just also out of curiosity, right? Because I know that you're living, you're based in the UK, right? And the UK is also probably a very diverse place, but is there still like discrimination or like racism in the UK?
Big, yes. And people, they published I can't remember which minister, but published a report earlier this year, where it says that the UK is doing so well in terms of racism and discrimination, there is no racism in the UK. And I'm laughing just because it's interesting that something like that came out, first of all, this year. It's interesting that it came out and then everything that happened after just proved them wrong. And also, it's interesting that a report like that came out, and I see every day from the conversations that I have that people in the workplace, they are still struggling with microaggression, with discrimination, with racism. That is the issue. And the sooner that people name that, the sooner we can make steps forward to make some change or acknowledge it, or, you know. But if we hide behind the, oh, no, we are fine, we are good, then, you know, it's still, in another way, it's still a form of acknowledging, right? If you acknowledge that there is a problem, then you can work to solve the problem. If you just pretend like the problem doesn't exist, then we are not going to go anywhere.
You know, because I'm on LinkedIn, most of the time. And obviously, like on LinkedIn, that's where most companies or brands post about, you know, their goals or what they believe in, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot of like, you know, posts or conversations about companies just being more diverse and more inclusive, especially when this whole like Black Lives Matter thing went out last year. A lot of companies were posting about, you know, we are all about diversity, inclusivity, equality, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know if companies are actually walking the talk. So why do you think, for you, for example, why do you think it's important for us to still be true to who we are, especially at work? So despite all of this, like, you know, negativity around us, why do you think it's so important for us to be true to ourselves?
I think primarily it's for us. I mean, the very first reason is that we do that for us, because it's for our mental health, because it's exhausting to play the part of someone else all the time. That obviously doesn't mean that we get to be 100% of us at work. That nobody does that. I don't know many people who do that. That's normal, because different spaces of your life require you to be different shades of yourself. But as much as you feel comfortable in being yourself, I think that you should take that step. And then the second reason is that when we are actually not our fully selves, we are actually damaging the company as well, because we might be more insecure. So we don't suggest something that might help the company, or we notice that someone is not a good fit, aka they are racist or they are discriminating. And maybe the leaders in the company don't realize that. So we are just allowing that person to be in a space where they shouldn't be, you know. It is about us, but it's also about the environment in which we work. Having said that, I wouldn't encourage anyone to stay in a place if things don't change, or whenever they bring a topic, a conversation, an issue out, they feel like they've been dismissed, or they've been discriminated, or they're not being heard. I've worked with business owners who used to work in the corporate world, and they left because of these kind of events, because either their manager were very racist towards them, very openly as well, or because they tried to survive in that environment, but then at some point they just burned out. So they decided to actually create their own, actually they decided to leave and heal, and then to create their own businesses to help people, to have a revenue and to have whatever. But yeah, I think that it's both for us, but also for the company that we work in. But then if it doesn't really work, I often see it like a romantic relationship. So you obviously you're not expecting the relationship to go well all of the time, and that's okay. But then you say something, the other person understand, or that, you know, you have a conversation about it, and then you continue. And then that's the, you know, the cycle of the relationship. But if you say something and then the person dismisses you one time, the second time, the third times, and then you start, you know, that dismiss, that starts to be on your shoulders, on your souls. You become heavier in a way. Then there's no point in being in the relationship, right? I mean, we don't start whatever relationship because we want to feel worse than when we were by ourselves, right?
Yeah, super agree. You know, sometimes, maybe in some moments in my career, not that I was like directly discriminated or anything like that, but it's more because I'm very sensitive when it comes to other people's body language and the change of tone, the change of mood, the change of voice, whatever. And there's this one person, I just know that he treats me very differently from others. Like I could see, for example, we're in a group setting, right? And I could see he's making jokes with other people. He's laughing around them. He's chatting with them. And when it comes to me, he's like very quiet, like very like not talkative. Like he will do like small chats, like, how are you? Yeah. And then that's it. Like I know the difference between how he's treating me and how he's treating other people. And sometimes I know that that's maybe it's just me overthinking, but you understand, like some people, they maybe they're smart also to not say something. That's their kind of way to like be, you know, to have judgment or whatever against you. Because it doesn't have to be, sometimes it doesn't have to be like loud words or, you know, big things, like big actions of racism or discrimination. Sometimes it could be just that, like silence, like I'm not around, like I'm invisible, you know, like I'm air, like I'm not existing. And I, you know, maybe I should just leave this place. Maybe I don't need to be dealing with these people. Maybe I could do my own self. But I feel like those moments, they actually make us stronger. I feel like they still kind of happen in our lives, basically because they're supposed to happen at this time, at this moment, so that they can teach us, those lessons teach us to be stronger than who we are before, right? So what are the ways or techniques that you can share to our listeners in order to help them outgrow their insecurities and people's prejudice and actually use those as ways to open doors instead of blocked opportunities?
Big question. I would usually start with asking the person, what is the final result that you want to see? Like, do you want to have more conversation with this person? Do you want to actually see whether that person has an issue with you? Because sometimes what I've noticed in my own life is that people kind of disregard you because they're not used to be around people like you. So they don't know how to, it's like, not sure how to approach her. She's so different, so weird. Oh my God. So they just, you know, shut down. Obviously, other times it's just that they're like discriminating you and they're just awful people. And this is a nice way of putting it. But I will start with what you want. And I will also ask myself, why do I care? Like, why do I care that if that person speaks to me or not? Why do I care if that person smiles to me or not? So if it is an issue of that person in particular, why do I care about that person in particular? And then I will try to analyze that. But I would also be mindful of the fact that sometimes because we are humans, we want to be seen and we want to be heard and we want to be acknowledged. So if that's the other issue, there are obviously different ways of approaching it. There are people who are just right confrontational that will go there and say, you know, I've noticed that you treat me different from other people. Is there a reason for that? Do you not find me funny? Because I'm funny, I'm full of jokes or whatever, you know? And there are people who are like that. There are other people, and that will be more my approach, who decide to make a statement with something that make it impossible for the other person to ignore them. So to give you an example, I went to Istanbul, to Turkey twice in my life. And both times I was so in the middle of the attention of everyone. I was once in the bazaar, and it was incredible how many people were coming there and be like, oh, can we take a picture? And can you be there? Can this and that? And for me, an introvert who doesn't like to be at the middle of the attention, I felt awful. I was like, just leave me alone.
Oh my God.
But I've noticed that people noticed me more and they didn't like that. But then at a certain point, I had to make the decision, okay, so they're looking at me and I don't like it that much, but then I'm going to give them a reason to actually look at me. So I did a very small thing. I bought a huge hat, like a very, very big hat, like bigger than my head. And then I wore that and I went around. And for my brain, I was telling myself, people are looking at me because of this massive hat that I have on my head.
Yeah.
And now I'm giving them another reason to look at me. Another thing that I do, again, because of my background, because of my personality, I've never liked to be too visible. So I've always hated colors like yellow. But now, I remember I went to a big networking event last year, and I was aware of the fact that I was probably going to be the only Black woman. We were two in the whole networking event, and that I was probably going to struggle with, you know, initiating the conversations. So what I've done was wearing a yellow blazer and some huge earrings. So whenever you do something like that, people, like, I had people coming at me and say, oh, I love your earrings. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. Thanks. I made them. And then you start the conversation and you don't have to make a huge effort. Mm-hmm. And then someone else at the table, they were like, wow, that yellow, it's really powerful. You know, I remember one time where I wore yellow and blah, 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 blah. And then you start the conversation. So it's either that you go right in their face with your words, or you can use some other ways, like your clothes or something that you say loudly or some other ways. But I will always start with, why do I actually care what that person think about me or does to me or says to me? Because that's where I think we can find more useful and interesting information.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I like that you mentioned that, because it's true. Like, why do I even care? Like, why do I even care what you say? Why do I even care how you treat me? Right. It's sometimes I feel maybe it's just my personality, and I'm just going to go a little bit personal here, but I think it's just my personality where maybe I kind of grew up being a little insecure, that I feel like I should be pleasing people. I feel like I need to say yes all the time. I feel like people have to like me all the time. I feel like I need to feel validated by everyone all the time. So sometimes, even if it means I have to be putting my needs aside and put other people's needs on top of mine, even if it means sometimes that I have to just brush it off, you know, even if I know this feeling is wrong, I feel like there's something against me with this person, etc., I feel like I still bow down to this person, just ignore the feeling, just, you know, try to make them happy still. And I think that that's rooted mainly because of my insecurity, because I grew up feeling like because I'm somehow different or people look at me differently, that I need to just, you know, please them. And it's maybe something that I need to work on as well, because, you know, like you mentioned, sometimes it's not like, you know, giving energy or giving a care to what others might say, but it's for your own good. It's for your own mental, you know, sanity. It's for your own sake. And sometimes just, you know, a little bit, I would say, tiring, like, to put masks on, like, all the time. Like, I have to be this person around this group of people. I have to be this person around my colleagues. I have to be this person around, etc. And sometimes it kind of, you know, makes you really tired at the end of the day, and you come back home and then now you're just by yourself and you're like, who am I? Like, why do I have to give so much extra effort to be more than who I actually am just to be accepted? And it's so sad, because I have that conversation with myself all the time. And I feel like, why do I even do that? Like, why do I even have to please everybody? And I like when you said, like, why do you even care? Why do you have to care about what others will say? It just really has to be, at the end of the day, all you have to do, all the person that you have to please at the end of the day, is yourself. Like, you have to wake up every day and say, I like you, self. Other people's, you know, validation, other people liking you, is just an extra like in my life. But self, I like you already. And that's all that matters. I feel like I need to have that kind of, you know, mentality and thinking more and more. Like, just for you, do you have any of those, like, affirmations or, like, things that you wake up to every day?
Well, first of all, I get it. I really do. That you have to, you feel like the insecurity of having to, that brings you to say yes to everyone, to please to everyone. And I believe that comes from the fact that we are women. It comes from the fact that we are women of color. It comes from the fact that we are not the minority in the sense that in the negative sense, but really in the quantitative way, like we are less people. And when you are not part of a huge group, you know, it's normal to feel a little bit more intimidated. But I will think, like you said, it's more about what you think of yourself than what others think of you. And I would also be very kind to ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yes, it is tiring to wear all these different masks. I'm aware of the fact that I wear all these different masks because growing up, this happened, because as a person of color, this happens, because I'm a woman. So society and the communication and everything tells me that I have to say yes, because that's the only way people are going to like me. And I will start by talking to ourselves like we will talk to a friend. Mm. You know, and sometimes it's really hard, because we are also very hard on ourselves. But honestly, we are on this planet for a reason, which is most definitely not beating ourselves up or be a bad friend for ourselves. So we are, if we had to look at it in a way, like you are in the middle of the ocean and you are having difficulty or you are drowning or whatever, there's no Jack, there's no Titanic, you know, that's just you, because all the other people, no matter what they think about you or no matter what they say about you, you know, that they cannot really help you. You are the only one who has to go and swim. Mm. And to go and swim, you have to have the energy. And to have the energy, you have to be thinking about yourself, about your mental self, about your physical self, about everything that you need to think about. And then you can actually do other things. But I will be very gentle with ourselves as well. I will be very kind. I remember when I was pregnant. When you're pregnant, people tell you, oh, you have to eat healthy stuff, mm-hmm. and you have to exercise, and you have to drink water, and you have to do this and do that, and do the exams and do the scan and do that, but don't lie down in this way and don't do this. And by the way, relax. And they're like, yeah, sure. Like, how? And one thing that really was important in all this conversation was something that I figured out within a group of other pregnant women, which was, you know what? You're a parent. You're already doing a huge job by carrying this baby in your belly. Mm. You're doing fine. Just be kind to yourself. And I think that's what we have to remember. We have to remind ourselves, you know, you're doing what you can. If you want to do more, then you will have to take some steps more. But just be kind. Just be, just give yourself that validation. Like, I know what I'm doing and I know why I'm doing it. And that's fine. I want to do more, or I want to do it differently. This is how I can do it differently. Mm-hmm. I don't use affirmation that much, just because it doesn't really stick to me. But what I use is, I like to fill my brain with other people affirmation in a way, or other people reflections. Mm-hmm. So I will watch movies where the character goes from being insecure to be a very strong character. Mm-hmm. Or I would read books where there are women who are really direct and they really state things like they are. Or I would listen to podcasts where the person is talking about something and it's really empowering. Or I would check out, and this is a very interesting thing, many of the people that I'm following, both on social media and also some of my friends, they're completely opposite compared to me in terms of personality. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to, in a way, get their vibe, mm-hmm. rather than writing it down or affirming. I honestly do look at myself in the mirror and think, you know, Bea, you are doing great. You are beautiful. let's start the day. I don't necessarily say it out loud or write it down, but I look at myself and, you know, accept myself like I am the way I am. And it's obviously something that we are not going to be able to do every single day or all of the time. And that goes back to be kind to yourself. It's fine. We are not running to get to some goals or some trains or whatever, you know, it's fine. Because we are doing for ourselves. We are not supposed to put extra charge on ourselves.
That is so nice. You know, I feel like before we can expect other people to be kind to us, we have to be kind to ourselves. I mean, and it also, I feel like the way that we look at ourselves, I heard this somewhere or I've read this somewhere, but like 95% of the time, how you look at yourself, that's also going to be how people will look at you. So if you treat yourself as insecure as possible, if you look at yourself as low as possible, you're going to kind of how do you say that, like it's going to radiate outside of who you are. So people are just going to look at you insecure and really just low. So for example, before when I was like a little less when I was a little bit more insecure about myself, like in the beginning I told you, like being too shy to like give up my ideas and stuff. Because I look at myself that way, I feel like that's how others look at me as well. And then I started coming out of my shell and be like, okay, you know what? I can do this. And people start to see, okay, she's probably become a little bit more confident. So how you perceive yourself, actually, if you don't give that to yourself, you're not going to be able to find that from other people. So I really appreciate that when you said and remind that you have to be kind to yourself, especially like in the workplace. Like sometimes I feel like we're so hard on ourselves. We really just want to be able to please everybody. We want to please our boss. We want to do extra. We want to shine, but we can't do that unless, you know, we actually accept ourselves first and be like, you know what? Today it's fine. I'm going to take a break. Today it's fine to say no. Today it's fine to just be chill. And it's really, really interesting, I would say, perspective to be in, rather than just being so harsh on ourselves. Because then when we look at ourselves so harshly, everyone else we see outside, we just feel like everyone's just so harsh with us as well. So that's really interesting. And you know what? We could go on and on and on about this thing, but it's really, you know, so many things that I feel like we're able to talk about today. And I feel that, you know, those who will be able to listen to this, I feel that they will be able to pick up at least a thing or two about, you know, our conversation. So Beatrice, just to wrap up our session, is there anything that you would like to plug or to share in terms of your work or social media? Where can our listeners find you?
Sure. So in terms of my work, I obviously work as a business storytelling coach. So using our stories to be confident enough to build a business and then, you know, develop that business and carrying it on and just heal from all the toxicity that came from, it can be workplace, past experiences, whatever. So finding our true selves within our stories, that's what I do. And in terms of where people can find me, they can go on my website, which is kabutakapua.com, kabutakapua.com, or on Instagram and LinkedIn. That's where I'm mostly active as well.
Okay, that's great. I will be putting all of your social media handles and your website linked on the description below so that people can reach out to you much more easily. But once again, thank you so much, Beatrice, for joining me in this episode. I really appreciate all this conversations that we had, and I wish we can do it again sometime in the future. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Thanks to you, Maria.
Thank you.
Follow @RisingBossPodcast on Instagram for updates on our topics and guests,
Or if you want to reach out or collaborate with me, feel free to get in touch by writing through hello@risingbosspodcast.com. It's your girl, Maria, and we'll see you on our next episode. Catch you later, boss.